barn, go out into the yard, and you left John, in bed asleep. Yeah. Okay. Now, were you afraid?
Yes. You're made of man.
I'm sorry, what? What was it?
It was so scary.
It was very scary. Sure, I would be frightened. Yeah. Anybody would be frightened, sure. So this is in your yard. Wait, hold on. Somebody's saying Bjorn and Bjorn. Is that Bjorn? Is the monkey's name Bjorn?
No, it's Bjorn.
I'm sorry. So you're out in the backyard with the monkey, and this saucer lands, right?
Yeah.
And you approach it, I assume, cautiously. Right? You didn't...
Yeah.
Right.
I ain't never seen nothing like that before.
What's that?
I ain't never seen nothing like that before.
Oh, you never saw it? No, I imagine not. Did it make a sound? Was there a sound as it landed?
No, it was quiet.
It was very quiet. Silent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So how big would you say this thing was approximately?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe about eight foot.
8 foot wide, 8 foot high?
Yeah.
Both of those. Was it like a cube shape?
No, it was round.
It was round, but that's not very big, 8 feet across.
It was big. It was real big.
Real? So it had to be bigger than 8 feet.
Well, it might be. I don't know.
Right. So what happened? You were probably nervous about this, right?
Oh yeah.
So you actually approached it. You weren't afraid to walk up to it though.
Well, I was, but I was afraid it was gonna get my chickens.
Oh, you didn't want it to hurt your chickens?
No.
Right. Okay. I assume the chickens scattered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this guy. Okay, so it's
they
just...
They know they're getting on and just raising all kinds of things.
So it's just you and the monkey out in the middle of the night alone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
See, at that point, I think maybe you should have gone in and woken up John, to assist
you
with this.
Yeah, I know it.
Like, you probably have some weapons, right, around the house?
Oh, yeah. We got yachtguns. We got all guns.
Like a shotgun or something?
But y'all, he would never wake up. He sleeps a lot.
He's a sound sleeper?
Yeah.
So, all right, so what happened? So you approached the saucer.
He probably wouldn't have helped me, no way.
You don't think, really, he wouldn't have helped you?
Nah.
He would have just left you out there alone, a woman in the dark of the night approaching an alien craft?
Y'all ain't good to me.
Really? I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. So based on your experience with him, you knew better than to bother waking him up.
Yeah, it wouldn't have done no good.
It wasn't going to do you any good. So what happened? Was there a door built into this or anything?
Oh, yeah.
It was a hatch?
And
like a
metal
hatch?
Door and a marine to come out.
A what? A marine?
A bridge.
Oh, a bridge. Like a bridge extended from the craft.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it touched the ground, so like a sort of a like a ramp.
Yeah.
From the ground up to the for a second there, I thought I heard a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear a chicken just now?
Oh yeah, I'm out here getting my eggs up.
Okay. I can actually hear the chickens in the background.
Yeah.
Are they traumatized by this whole thing? I mean, are they laying less than usual?
Yeah. Lotless eggs.
Wow.
I've been having to come out here a bunch and check on them.
Is there any abnormalities to the eggs as a result of this encounter? You know, are you getting empty eggs or anything? Was there radiation?
Oh, yeah. And they have green eggs. They purple eggs now. They all kinds.
Really?
Of
green and purple? Wow. You should probably, you're in Georgia, you should probably send those over to, like, the university or something to be analyzed. That's how, I don't think I would,
yeah.
I don't think you should eat those.
Well, I mean, giving them to yawn.
I'm sorry for laughing, but you're gonna give these. You're gonna give those to your husband.
Yeah.
The green and purple eggs. Yes. Okay. So, all right. So did a door open?
And then what do you think this is, Lorraine? Easter? They come an egg. And the nugget on. It ain't Easter.
He wouldn't care. He would.
He's been eating them. He'll eat anything.
So he would eat them if you would offer them to him.
Oh, yeah. He's been eating them every day.
Oh, he's been eating them every day since this encounter, this strange encounter. Have
yeah,
they had a
Easter.
Have you seen any effects on his health? I find every aspect of this story fascinating. Have you found, has it affected him in any way?
His hair is turning a little bit of color.
His hair is coming in like a different color?
Yes.
See this?
There are three different colors.
Three different colors. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've established that the craft is in your backyard. Now,
yeah.
And a hatch opened. You said it was kind of a ramp that came down to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, did anything or anyone come out of it?
Oh, yeah. Those are three of them.
Three aliens. Now, how did you know, how could you be sure there were aliens that this wasn't some kind of a secret military thing, aircraft?
They didn't look like us. They didn't look like me and you, Mom.
What'd they look like?
I don't know. They were little.
How little? How tall are we talking about here?
They're not much bigger than my chicken.
Oh, really? Oh, see, I was picturing like 3 or 4 feet tall, but they were like chicken size.
Yeah, they were real little.
Wow. So.
But they were strong.
They were what?
Real strong.
They were small, yes.
No, strong. Strong. Muscle. They had muscle.
Oh, they were strong. I'm sorry. They were strong.
Stout.
Okay,
they
so. So were they humanoid? They looked like people, but they were tiny, like chicken size?
We don't know what humanoid is. That was a humanoid?
Oh, no, not a hemorrhoid. No. In other words, humanoid is like a human type being. A human-like creature. They were not. What did they look like?
No. Well, they had money-shaped heads. Two or three fingers, two toes. It was a real scary shot.
I would imagine so. So just a couple of fingers on each hand. Now, were they, you mentioned toes, so were they naked?
Yeah.
Were they naked?
Yeah, they don't wear, anything don't wear clothes. They ain't got no clothes.
No clothes.
No.
Now, I don't know how to approach this cautiously. Did they have genitalia?
I didn't see none.
You didn't see anything? Now, did they have skin or they like feathers or scales like a lizard? What are we?
No, they didn't have none of that.
No, but so they just had kind of like skin. But they didn't look like people. What did their faces look like?
One of them just had one eye right in the center.
So it's like a cyclops.
Well, I guess. I don't know what that is.
Well, that's a one-eyed figure from mythology. So it had one eye.
Yeah, one of them had one eye, yep.
One eye. Okay. And did they speak to you in any way?
I didn't understand them.
But they were making sounds?
Yeah, they make funny sounds. Some of them sound like a frog.
Like a frog? Like ribbit,
you know,
ribbit?
Frog make, no, not like that. You know, them tree frogs, they make all kinds of different rackets.
Right. Like almost like crickets and those kind of sounds?
Yeah.
Did it seem like they were trying to communicate with you?
Yeah, I think they would. Put me in that big old ship.
Yeah. But you didn't go, right? You didn't get inside.
No, they didn't get me in there.
Were they gesturing to you, like, follow us, like waving towards you? You know, like,
they had a hold to me.
They what?
They had a hold of me and my monkey.
Oh, they grabbed, they physically touched you.
I think they're strong.
Yeah, but there's, okay, so they're the size of chickens, They only have a couple of fingers. They have 10 toes, no clothes. Okay.
10 toes.
How many? 2 toes. Okay, and no discernible genitalia. They make sounds kind of like tree frogs, and they physically grabbed you.
Yeah.
Did they seem to have bad intent, or were they just kind of, you know, just trying to...
Oh, they meant for me to go with them.
Right. But I mean,
me
was
and
it,
yours.
Were they trying to harm you, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
See, there's definitely chickens there. I hear chickens for reals in the background. In case anybody thinks this isn't on the level, you really do have chickens there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's not messing around. So how long did this all last?
Oh, it was a good 30 minutes.
Really? Really? Oh. And did you try to talk to them?
Yeah, I told them to get out of my yard.
Right.
They had to go on.
Right.
So I called law.
Right. Now, what would you have told the law if you had contacted the sheriff?
Man of mom had been letting me on and wouldn't even believe it.
So your husband still doesn't believe you?
Mm-mm.
And you suspect that nobody else would have either?
Nah.
Do you feel traumatized by this?
Oh, yeah. I'm scared to death and I'm out lying now.
Has this changed your view of the universe?
Oh, yeah. The whole world. Yeah.
Really? How so?
Well, I know there's something up out there.
Well, yeah. Apparently. But now, are you afraid of them? Because they're the size of chickens.
Yeah.
They're just little bitty guys. Right? They weren't threatening.
It don't matter.
They were up to no good? What do you think they wanted?
Me and George.
They wanted to take you? You're sure of that?
And George.
How'd you get away from them?
I just get on biting them. That's the thing. They hit that one with the one eye right in the face, right in the nose. They got little bitty noses.
Really? Yeah? So you punched them?
I like a beat.
And then ran?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just a shame you didn't have, like, a phone. You know, a phone. You could have taken a picture or something.
Yeah, I know it. Well, it's hard for me to hold that egg basket, my shotgun, and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I can
and
see
my
that.
Phone.
I can see that. So you now believe that there is life on other planets because of this encounter?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And this has expanded your concept of the universe.
Oh, yeah, I know there's something out there.
Do you think they'll come back?
I know that.
Do you expect to see them again?
Oh, yeah. They'll be back.
Okay, now can I make a suggestion? This time you take a camera.
Okay.
Take a camera and take some pictures. Maybe like, okay, now since they kind of know you, maybe you could do like a, I'm not trying to be facetious here, but maybe a selfie. You could stand with them and just hold the camera out in front of you, you know, to give it some more credibility.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I hope you're not too traumatized by this whole thing. I hope you're able to get past this and get back on track. I hope your chickens are okay.
Thank you.
I think you should take...
They're scared, but...
I'm sorry, what? You're scared?
They're scared. I'm scared. Oh. But I think it's going to be okay.
You think it's going to be okay? All right. Well, I hope so. I mean, certainly I know that, you know, the listeners all wish you well, and I wish you well, certainly. I hope everything's okay.
I'm waiting on them.
I got something waiting on them
next time.
Real? Oh, you're going to... Okay, next... So from now on, you're going to stay up all night and wait for the craft to return?
Yeah.
Well, if it does, I mean, you know where to reach us, right? You know where to reach us if it comes back. Maybe, you know, if the ship comes back, do you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, you must. You're out in the chicken coop with a cell phone. Okay. If the craft comes back, like when I'm on the air, call back, okay, while it's happening.
Oh, okay. I got one of them Obama phones.
Oh, you got an Obama phone. Oh, yeah. The one that the government gives you, right. The subsidized phone for people with low incomes. Yes, nicknamed an Obama phone, right. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad.
Mama.
So if it should happen, feel free to call back.
I'll call you back if it lands out here again.
Yes, thank you. All right, well, thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mama.
Bye-bye, Lorene.
Mama, Mom.
Bye. That was my favorite part of that whole thing was just as I was saying goodbye, the chicken was hooting and hollering in the background. That, what a story. What a marvelous story for a 4:45 on a Memorial Day morning. What a wonder. Now, that's good radio, boys and girls. That's how you do it. Now, let me see if I can find a nice song to follow that. I want to play something. Oh, here it is. I think I will play that, this here, right here.
I'm going around your house, baby, just like a circle, yeah. A triangle, a biangle, a triangle, a triangle, baby. I'm moving so fast that you, not even your cat can follow me, baby. I'm going around. I'm going upside down, inside up and down and back and round and up and down and up and around and up that down and double into that down like a circle, baby. I say like a circle, baby, just like a circle. Woo! Ha! Woo! Now, it's really strange going around your apartment house in one big circle, yeah. You ask me how I do it. I'm invisible, baby. I'm invisible. You can't see me, baby. Triangle. Diangle. Biangle. Circle angle. I'm going around your house. Just like a circle, baby! Now, baby, you ask me, how can I go around your house like a circle if I'm invisible? Circles are not invisible, but they are on a visible circle! Crossword puzzles, round and a back, like an upside down angle to a triangle to a biangle circle, right around your house, and you can't see me. Oh yeah, baby, like a circle, baby, just like a circle, baby, just like a circle, baby, just like a circle, just like a circle.
Listening to All Hit Radio, and it's 53 degrees at 13 minutes past the hour. And right now in our All Request line, I've got Mike Ledgerwood on the phone. Hey, babe, what would you like to hear? Hey, babe, I'm sorry. I can't hear you too well. You're going to have to speak a little closer into the phone. Okay, babe, what would you like to hear again?
We are observing your Earth.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but that's not on our playlist. And by the way, you sound great over the phone. Anyway, if you give us your request, we'll be glad to play it for you, babe. So let's hear it.
We are observing your Earth.
Listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't...
And we'd like to make...
I'm sorry, Mike, there's...
A contact with you. Baby.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to say. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. Transmit thought energy far beyond the norm. You close your eyes, you concentrate. Together, that's the way to send the message we declare world contact day. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 on the FM dial, or you're listening to it on KBOO.FM, or you're on Periscope and you're seeing it over there. Somehow, some way, you are seeing and or hearing this, or hearing and or seeing this. That's a better way to put it. What did we just listen to? We listened to Circle by Wildman Fisher from his debut album, An Evening with Wildman Fisher. Came out in 1969. A very, very interesting double album. Wildman Fisher, his name was Larry. He was a paranoid schizophrenic who used to like to hang out on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, and he would sell songs for a dime, original songs for a dime. You would give him a dime and he would sing songs. And he was brought into a studio and he produced a double album. And that one, some of the songs are a cappella. And some of them have music. And that one had music. And that's one of my favorite songs of all time ever. And then after that was the Carpenters. Karen Carpenter and that amazing voice that she had, singing Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft, because it just seemed appropriate after the phone call from Loreen. It just seemed like the right thing to do to play that. And I am nothing if not a guy who once in a while randomly does the right thing. I mentioned the station, yes, KBOO Portland. Of course. It's coming up on 5 o'clock in the morning. It is Memorial Day, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Memorial Day. I want to say Happy Memorial Day. I come right up to the edge of saying that, and then I remind myself it's not a happy thing. It's a day of reflection and remembrance. Stop. The words want to come out of my mouth. I have to snatch them. I have to snatch them out of the air before they hit your eardrums and shove them back into my face. It's just force of habit, people.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Fritz Waugh Show on Tuesday, May 29th at 9 p.m. at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Fritz Waugh will be headlining this show, playing songs off her latest release, the self-written and produced Avenue A. Also playing will be David Barber and Radio Phoenix, mixing hip-hop and jazz, and Trent Barspel, who mixes jazz and modern music. Again, that's The Fritz Waugh Show on Tuesday, May 29th at 9 p.m. at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence features over 30 community-built projects happening all over Portland, including the Mudbone Community Farm, Sherritt Square, and Portland University. Additionally, there are also ticketed evening events featuring speakers and local musicians. Again, that's the Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
That's how all songs should end. You're singing into the wrong microphone. You're listening to a little show I call, if I knew what I was doing, I would stop. I call myself Bob Pagani because that's what they put on my birth certificate. So those two songs both have interesting stories about them. The first one is Whip It. But those of you who were paying attention, not drifting off to dreamland, probably noticed that it was not Devo. It sounded like a young girl or woman singing. And you would be, in fact, correct on that. It was a weird project that the Devo guys got involved with in 2006 called Devo 2.0. They apparently made a deal with Disney. Disney has or had a children's record division. And I don't know who approached who, but somebody had the bright idea to do a kids' version of Devo. So they went and got like child performer type people who could play instruments and stuff, and they taught them Devo songs. And the idea was they were going to revive Devo, but they were young. The keyboard player in that band looks like she's maybe not between 9 and 11 years old. She's really young looking. And the singer was maybe like 12, and there was a couple of boys in the band that looked like they might have been maybe 14 or 15. And that was somebody's brilliant idea. This was going to be the thing that was going to sweep the nation. And since you've never heard of them, you probably can figure out that it did not, in fact, sweep the nation. It did not take America by storm, Devo 2.0. But, I like even a failed experiment. If somebody tries something, I will always support that. Somebody trying something wacky, even if it doesn't appeal to me personally. But Devo 2.0, I have their only, the CD also came with a DVD of the kids, the band Devo 2.0 performing. So you can, I'm sure it's out of print, but you can find it on, you can find the songs like on YouTube, I know. But I doubt you're going to find the physical object, the physical CD or DVD at this point. But it was a noble experiment to take Devo, which was, when you think about it, Devo was a pretty cynical concept. The whole idea was that society and human beings are de-evolving. We're heading back into our pre-human monkey-like state. And that was their premise. And have teenagers doing that. They did change the words on some of, like, A Beautiful World. It's a beautiful world we live in, you know. Well, it ends with, it's a beautiful world for you, but not me. They changed that for Devo 2.0, which sings, it's a beautiful world for you and me. Is that a sellout? I don't know. They took the corporate money. Were they selling out, or were they just, acknowledging a practical reality that you couldn't really have kids singing these, what really comes down to rather negative lyrics in the case of some of those songs. Let's see. Then after Whip It, I played a version of America, right? America. That's on an album by Steve Martin. Steve Marcus, excuse me. Who is, I guess he's still alive. He was a kind of a deal in the jazz world, Steve Marcus. And I heard that it's called The Lord's Prayer, and it's a version of The Lord's Prayer. I don't want to play it right now, but maybe next time I'm on here, I'll play it. That album is just really off the wall. It's really out there. You got to wonder what was going on when they recorded that album. But I loved it for that reason, because it's just so bonkers, right? And I worked in the 70s. The record came out, I think, in 69. And I heard somebody play it on the radio one time, one of the tracks from it. I think it was the Lord's Prayer track. And I worked for the Yankees, the Mets, and Madison Square Garden as a security guard back in the 70s. I used to, the Yankees would be in town for like 4 days for homestand. Then they leave, and then the Mets come in. Major League Baseball tries not to overlap them. Every once in a while they overlap, but 99% of the time the Yankees are home, and then they go out of town, and then the Mets come into town, and it goes like that. So we were able to go back and forth. We could work the different places and Madison Square Garden. And one day I am working at a Mets game, and for some reason they had a band play before the game started. And it was the aforementioned Steve Marcus and his band. And I thought, oh my God, I have to tell this man how much I love this record that he made several years ago. So I make it a point to be down in the basement of the stadium where I know he's going to have to be to go out onto the field, right? And I say, Steve, I have to tell you, I love your album, The Lord's Prayer. And he looks at me and he goes, man, I don't know what the F I was thinking when I recorded that. He goes, I don't know what happened there. And I said, well, I love it. He goes, well, I'm glad to hear that. And just walked away and went out on the field and played some normal music. But it's just a very peculiar album by a guy who is not known for being peculiar. So that's why I love stuff like that. I love it. You know, now who knows? I don't want to cast aspersions. I don't know anything about the production of the record. But that, you notice in the beginning of the song, it was like someone playing the recorder. You know, that little wooden or plastic thing that they make kids play in grammar school. That was a little girl named Rachel Perkis. She's credited on the record, and there's a picture of her with the band on the front cover. And I know absolutely nothing about her. Nothing. Although when I was looking for that album, because I couldn't remember Steve Marcus's name, so I was trying to find it, I remembered her name, and I typed it in, and I found pictures of a woman who I assume is Rachel Perkis today as an adult. I don't know. Maybe. I guess. I mean, Perkis is not a super common last name. Perkis. I never heard it before, in fact. Perkins, sure, but not Perkis. All right, we got about another, 15 minutes or so to go. 15, maybe 20 on this little wingding we're throwing here on this Memorial Day 2018. We had a live phone call just a little bit ago from a woman named Loreen, who had an apparent encounter with aliens while she was feeding her chickens, and we actually heard the chickens in the background while she was talking. And now I have a call that I pre-recorded from another person. I put some feelers out on social media to see if I could find some people so I could kind of pre-screen the call since I don't have anybody else in the station here with me. I'm the only one here, so I don't have a call screener, and I don't want to deal with drunks and stuff. And stupid people that just want to yell at me. So I do have a phone call that I recorded from another person who alleges to have had an alien abduction encounter.
Hey, Bob, this is my story. I know you wanted to hear about alien abductions. Anyway, we were down on the beach, my girlfriend, and I eating some marijuana brownies one night. Probably about 3 in the morning, we see this flying saucer thing come up and then over the haystack rock and down. There was nobody else down there. There was a couple of fires in the distance. Anyway, and we were totally freaked, as you can imagine, with eating brownies. But this flying saucer thing landed, has this kind of weird aura glow to it at the bottom, and this door popped open, and we were frozen with fear, thought about running, but I don't know, we were just sitting there with our mouths agape because we were so freaked out. And so they let us in there and thought about fighting, but you know, they were smaller than we were. We might have been able to take them, but curiosity got the best of us. And so, suffice it to say, we got in there and all kinds of probes were used. And I'm not going to say much more than that. You can probably imagine. It was horrifying. I don't know why, you know, we didn't fight, but probes were used. And when they were done, they just kicked us out the door. And that was that. You know, next time I get abducted by an alien, I sure hope that they take us out to dinner first, because that was kind of a violation of our physical being and mental, too. I mean, now I have PTSD from it. So maybe with counseling I can get over this, but it's been tough, Bob. anyway, that's my story.
That was creepy. Am I wrong to describe that one as creepy? I like, though, he said next time maybe they'll take him out to dinner. That was a nice touch. Listen, I just get the phone calls and I play them. It's so funny. I sit here and I hear music that I play and I take the phone calls and stuff. And then it makes me think of things. And back in the early 90s, when I was working at a radio station in San Diego, having a job for which I had absolutely no qualifications and was ultimately fired from for that very reason, about 20 miles east of San Diego, and I don't remember the name of the town right now, but there's a town over there, and it was home to a UFO cult called the Unarians. They're a fun bunch. You should look them up sometime. They were led by a woman named Ruth, and I don't remember her last name, but Ruth believed that she was the reincarnation of, she was basically the reincarnation of everybody, like Jesus and Gandhi and Buddha, and Ramses, and she was all the reincarnation of all of them. And she was called, locally, she was known as Space Ruthie because she had a Cadillac, and on top of the Cadillac, she had a flying saucer mounted on top of the Cadillac. And the Unarians were wacky, but they were fun and they were harmless. They had what looked like had been a supermarket once upon a time, and then that was the head of their cult. And I challenge myself to do these things. I said I'm going to go over there and I'm going to visit the Unarians. So I got over there, right? And I'm visiting the Unarians. And then I'm like, well, actually, I walked in, and I was afraid. I was nervous about going into the place. But I went in, and there was a very lovely older black woman sitting there at the desk, very sweet old lady. And she was sitting there, and I said, oh, hi. And she says, are you interested in the Unarians? And I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. And she said, where did you hear about us? And I said, well, I saw something on television. And she said, oh, really? What show? And I said, Real People. This was a show. It was kind of like an early, I don't want to say reality show, but it was kind of a goofy quasi-news show that was on NBC for a few years, but it was very silly. And so she looked crushed that I had heard of the Unarians on that show and not one of the other more serious profiles of the Unarians. But it was there was fun. They were like very hokey, like folk art or outsider art, like spaceship statues all around the lobby of this place. It was absolutely fascinating. And there's a part of me that wishes that I had sort of gotten more intimately familiar with the Unarians. But it was just, it was nifty. I'm fascinated by cults. Any kind of cult. Next time I'm on, when I'm on in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to have to tell you a story about, because I don't have time to do this now, but in 2 weeks when I come back, I will tell you a story about a specific cult and my fascination with this cult and how something I want to do, and I swear to you I will do it if I ever get the money, I will be able to assist this cult, and I do have an ulterior motive, but it isn't a terrible, horrible, manipulative ulterior motive. It's kind of a dumb ulterior motive, actually, because I'm kind of a dope, frankly. But I will tell you that, not today, but in 2 weeks when I come back, I'll tell you that story. I have made a note to myself to tell you that, and it's just a really, it's an interesting story in itself, the cult thing. It's a cult, I'll tell you this much, it's a cult in the South Pacific. It's in Papua New Guinea. And the thing that I want to do, I believe, would be absolutely harmless to them, wouldn't cause them any discomfort or any disruption, would actually help them. But I suspect that, not sociologists, what are the guys that study, civilizations and whatnot? Why can't I think of the word? Gosh darn it. Those guys, I think they would be horrified. I would probably be violating the Starfleet Prime Directive, but it wouldn't be harmful. But I swear, if I figure out how to raise the funds, someday I am going to do that thing. And I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about it on the next show, which will be 2 weeks from right now.
I want to be famous, son of a gun. I want you all to know my name when I'm done. Ooh, I want to be someone. I want to be someone. I want to be someone. I want to catch on fire. I want to feel the spark. I want to blaze a trail, leave it burning in the dark. Record show there was someone here. Lord, I don't want to disappear. I don't want to disappear. I don't want to disappear.
In the cavern, in the canyon, excavating for a mine, dwelt a miner. And his daughter, Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful, sorry, Clementine. Drove she ducklings to the water every morning just at night. Stopped her foot against a splinter, fell into the foaming brine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful, sorry, Clementine. Bom, 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 bom.
Ruby lips above the water, blowing bubbles soft and fine. But alas, I was no swimmer, so I lost my Clementine.
Oh, my darling, my darling Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful, sorry Clementine. In my dreams she still doth haunt me, robed in garments soaked in brine. How in life I used to hug her, now she's gone, I draw the line. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful, sorry, Clementine.
So peaceful until you fall in love. Simple, the sky up above. Simple is caving in. Wow! You never been so nuts about a guy you wanna love. You wanna cry, you cross your heart and hope to die till it's over, and then.
couch and I got hit. There's no mistake, this is it! Till it's over and then it's nice and quiet. Shh, shh, but soon again shh, shh, starts another big riot.
Noted singer of show tunes, Bjork. Yes, that's really Bjork. The last thing in the world you'd expect her to sing, right? You think of Bjork as a Scandinavian Yoko Ono, and then she pulls that on you. She pulls that out of her bag of tricks. You really got to see the video for that. It's great. She starts out in a tire store, like a Les Schwab kind of a place. And then she goes out the door and she's dancing in the street with people following her down the street dancing. And then she's lifted up in the air above them while it's really bizarre. All right, boys and girls, I am finished here. I almost said enjoy your Memorial Day. Memorial Day is not for enjoying. It's for reflection and, you know, contemplation of the fleeting nature of existence. So enjoy that. Okay. For all you existentialists, enjoy your contemplation of the fleeting nature of existence. I'll be back in 2 weeks to do this all over again, and maybe that time I'll be able to eat before I get here and I won't be so crabby like I was today. Coming up next, Diane Hunt will be on with Folk Espresso. She's got a special Memorial Day show for you. Please stick around for that. This thing that I just did here is called If I Knew What I Was Doing, I Would Stop. And my name is Bob Pagani. See you in a couple of weeks.
Say goodbye to all our company. Him I see, K-E-Y, M-O-U. Him I see.